The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. I'm Chris Bowden, filling in for Zach Zabeman tonight, and we're in front of a studio audience, a Bears season ticket holders, part of the season ticket holder experience. Give yourselves a round of applause for coming on out here as we celebrate the holidays and anticipate 2017. But our very special guest tonight is a Bear in his third year here. He's been putting up numbers every year he has been here, and we're not going to give him a position. We'll let him decide on the position. Willie Young, everybody, please welcome him to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Thanks for coming in, Willie.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Are you talking about the difference between defensive end and linebacker?
Oh, here we go.
I mean, that's
he brought it up.
But
he
that's the question you're throwing out there?
That's the one I was throwing out there. Okay. But I guess we won't address it. So
we're going to leave it right where it is.
We know what Willie calls himself, even though, you know, when we get into the X's and O's, it turns into something else. I wanted to start with fishing, but we'll get to fishing soon enough, all right?
Please do, because we'll stay here all day.
Yeah, but this studio audience, those listening on the radio, probably share the same frustration that you felt this year, probably saw the frustration that you felt the last 3 years you've been here. What can you share with everybody out there about the belief that remains in that locker room that their patience and their passion, the same passion that you guys have, is going to be rewarded here sometime soon?
If we could take pieces from every single game that we played this year and just plug them together, we'd be undefeated right now. The upside for this team is way beyond what you can actually see, because we got so many young guys in new places, and then we got, I don't know how many guys we got on the injury reserve right now. I mean,
19.
You just think about all the missing pieces that we've had, and we've been able to accomplish what we've accomplished, just giving ourselves a chance in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're just getting blown out, you know, early in the game. So, and that makes a big difference when you start trying to figure out and find all of the good things that you did, and you know, it's easy to lose sight of it, because when you're not winning, everything's bad. But just got to find the positive stuff when you are having a tough time.
You know what's amazing is we read a stat before kickoff, and of almost 900 defensive snaps, the same 11 guys have only been on the field for 14 plays. And you think about how important continuity is in team defense or team offense. When you look at your defensive personnel, 14 snaps, Willie, you couldn't imagine that to start the season, but how difficult has that been in terms of, you know, going into meetings and getting ready for games of some pretty difficult offenses?
It's extremely tough. We know the communication isn't going to be there the way you would like it to be, but I had no idea that, you know, it was
only that few.
That's unbelievable.
Right.
And to, like I say, to still have a chance late in the game says a lot.
Right.
There's a lot of times where you don't even have an opportunity to win the game.
Does that ever challenge your enthusiasm? Because, you know, it seems every Sunday night we do Bears Game Night Live, and at the end of the show we have a player that's mic'd up. And I don't think if there's ever been an offensive player or a defensive player, I've always heard your voice in the background. And you never lack enthusiasm. But when you go through the amount of players that you have, does it challenge your enthusiasm, or because you always have to be, like, you know, concentrating on making sure everybody's on the same page?
To be quite honest, I'm not I had no idea about that stat. No, not even a clue. And we get caught up. We have to focus as professionals. We must concern ourselves with what's ahead of us, and not so much what we just went through, not so much about the past, because it's imperative that we put behind us. We go back and make corrections every Monday, but it's imperative to put that behind you and learn from your mistakes. If you can continue to learn from your mistakes, then you'll keep yourself in a position to win at the end of the week.
Ryan Pace, John Fox have really put a priority on character guys, unselfishness, team first guys. Has that played a factor in this team not splintering in what is right now a three-win season, because it doesn't take much. You know, there are some guys out there who all of a sudden become me first. How much has that character, I wouldn't say issue, the importance of character played in you guys still going out there and playing hard to the final whistle every week?
It's played a major role because we know, I mean, from the start of OTAs to training camp all the way until to this very day, the kind of guys that we have on this team, we all know that each and every week we come to work, we come in and have we make it our, we take ownership into what we do day in and day out. And the fight that you can see in the guys when the lights come on every Sunday, every game day, you can see the guys, no one's laying down. And then, I mean, when you want to break that down about the selfishness, when you break down the outside linebacker room in particular, I mean, we've got four guys in that room who can be on the field at any given moment and make a big play for this team. And it's not like that everywhere, you know. Neither one of us is ever frowning or pouting about not being in the game when you're not in the game, because it's just that kind of atmosphere. You know, we're all pulling for one another. We're all, you know, helping Leonard Floyd along, and that's just, I mean, that's just, you're right. That's a very good point you made. I mean, that's just the kind of character we have on this team. It's really a symbol of what we are as a team.
You know, he answered your first question about what position when he said he goes to the outside linebacker meeting room.
I knew you was going to do it. Right. I knew you was going to do it.
I have a question here. Seventh rounder, 213th pick in the draft. Did you ever think that you'd be sitting here at this time in your career, at the age you're at, how well you're playing, how many position changes you've gone through? Or when you got drafted, was it just, look, man, I need to make it to the NFL year one and then let that lead to year two, three? So did you always know you were going to be the player you are?
I didn't know that I was going to be the player that I am. But with the way that my dad raised me, I knew that I could be whatever I want. I knew that I could do whatever I want. I was never allowed to say what I couldn't do. And when I was drafted in the seventh round, I was slightly upset because I knew I was a lot better than where I was drafted at. But I never let that affect my drive. And I showed up every day. I made a commitment to myself. The first day I stepped on that practice field in Detroit, when I was with the Lions, and I made a commitment to myself that I'm going to go full speed every time I get an opportunity.
I want to dive a little bit more as we take our first break here on Bears All Access. When we come back, a little bit more about your relationship with your dad growing up in Florida and then hitting through North Carolina State to hitting the ground running in Detroit, and some of the guys that you learn from as you try to pay it forward here. That during the course of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. We are in front of an audience of season ticket holders here at the PNC studio at Halas Hall. More with Willie Young when Bears All Access continues on 670 The Score. The best way to get ready for Sunday's Bears-Vikings game is to tune into Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 in Chicago, and Sunday night. Watch Bears Game Night Live at 10:35 p.m. with our very own Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, and host Lou Kanellis. Welcome back inside the PNC studio at Halas Hall. We are with a couple dozen season ticket holders here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Let's hear ya. Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabin, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, and our special guest, Willie Young. So you mentioned your dad and the importance of the relationship you had with him growing up. When did you get that realization that, I know you wrote a letter to him, there was an article in the Tribune a couple of weeks ago about your appreciation for him, and was that from day one? When did you realize, and when did you express what you wanted to do with your life? In terms of how he helped raise you?
Very, very tough upbringing as a kid.
It's down in Florida.
Yep. Spent a lot of time traveling on the highway between mom and dad and stuff like that. And somewhere along the way, I remember writing this letter like it was yesterday, and he still has it in this old raggedy, beat up briefcase. I mean, it's only like 25 years old right now, I guess. So
the letter?
Yeah. He still has it. Like, impressive. The actual, yeah. And it's not laminated, it's just the letter, but he keep the briefcase closed all the time, so it doesn't get any, I guess it's not, you know.
It's not a Dead Sea Scroll yet.
No, it's not yet. But, you know, I had an opportunity to see what was out there in the real world at a younger age, just some positive role models, some local guys. They were older, and I saw them going to college and playing ball and started following them and whatnot, and just hearing some of the stories, I was just so into knowing what else was out there. And at some point in time, I started putting together that I was actually pretty good at the game of football. And didn't know how at the time. I mean, I was only, I don't know, 7 or 8 maybe when I wrote this letter. And it was more so about just what I wanted to do for my mom, for my dad. And he held on to that letter. But the entire time, I've always had that in the back of my mind. You know, like that was one of the things that drove me to continue to fight and push through all of the negativity and just the tough times and whatnot. So it had a major impact on me, the fact that I was able to have my dad in my life. And when I say hard on me, I mean hard on me.
Yeah, and you only not only did it for yourself, you did it for him.
Absolutely.
He's still out working, right? He's still driving that truck?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, when you signed that letter at the very end, and when I was a junior in high school, I sat with two of my high school friends and I signed this piece of paper and I said, this is how I'm going to sign my autograph when I become a professional football player, and I still have the piece of paper. When you look at your signature at the end of that letter, is it anything similar to the autograph you signed today?
Similar. Yeah. Similar. I try to integrate my dad's W in my signature. That's how
he's Willie also.
Yeah, that's why it ends up sideways. And then the rest of it comes from my mom's signature.
Yeah, Willie had a chance to sign a bunch of autographs here for our studio audience during the breaks and before we reached the air. So growing up in Florida, a very fertile football playground down there with tons of talent. Did you have a good sense of, well, obviously through the letter, you had a good sense of your place and how good you can be compared to some of the other kids down there?
Yeah. And I really challenged myself. I can't even believe I was thinking this way at that time, but when I look back on it, I think it was pretty impressive because I was during one of the transitions when I was living in Georgia with my mom, my 8th grade year, I told her that I wanted to move to Florida without my dad persuading me to move down there and all the good fishing involved. But I told her I wanted to move to Florida because and play football there because if I could stand out, if I could shine in Florida, you know, obviously a football state, I feel like I have a great chance. And that's exactly how our conversation went. Yeah. And she's like, you know what, I'm not going to make you stay here. If that's what you really want to do, you follow your heart.
So what was your dream scholarship?
At one time, it was one of the Florida teams, obviously Miami or Florida State, you know. And then I ended up taking a visit to North Carolina State, Ohio State. I was supposed to go to Georgia, but something happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. And ended up at NC State. They had the number one defense in the nation at the time.
There you go.
They had some guys, Mario Williams, Manny Lawson, Mario Presley, Stephen Tulloch. I mean, they were loaded, you know. Yeah. And that's where I made home. I went on like 2 unofficial visits, you know, just kind of really got a feel for that environment, and I obviously liked it enough to commit.
I read that you got some basketball in your background. Was that ever a possibility, or was it always something, an activity to keep on doing because you were going to be a football player?
That was probably my entire basketball career was a disaster. I couldn't dribble.
It just lets you know you're a football player.
Yeah, I couldn't dribble and chew gum at the same time. And I don't know if that's because my feet were just too big. I don't know. That was terrible.
Did you become a year-round football player where you attach kind of a weightlifting conditioning to the off season, or was it like football season, fishing, and then return to football season?
I had a Coach Brown, and he challenged me so much to go out there and play some basketball because of my height.
Right.
Now, I could jump, and I could grab rebounds for you all day, but the second I needed to push the ball down the court, oh, no, so it's not going to happen.
You are Dennis Rodman, not Kevin Durant.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Go get that ball and pass it to a teammate.
That was me.
Yeah.
I enjoyed jumping and trying to dunk on people. That was about it.
Now, you have a degree in science and technology.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do with that?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to continue to play football and retire at about 35, 30.
So nothing?
No. Nah.
What drew you to that, though?
I had a tough time my early years in college. Got behind, academic ineligible and whatnot. I spoke to my academic advisor, and she got me some help and whatnot, and I got back on track within the course of a year. By the time I notified my issues, and got back on track. By the time I got on track, there were courses that I had taken that I had to find something that I could put them toward.
Yeah.
If you understand how right. The whole NCAA works. Mm-hmm. So I had to find something that worked toward the class that I had already taken. And I ended up getting into the science thing, which I was quite involved in. I mean, I was actually liking it more than I thought I would have because it was science and right. Kind of back off from it early on. Initially, I wanted to be a veterinarian because I love animals. I love the outdoors and just understanding the anatomy of animals and all that. So
no marine biology program.
Nah. My dad had that all. We was all locked up on that part of it. That was not an issue. I knew that. My eyes closed.
You know, I just one quick question about North Carolina State. I grew up with a guy that played on the 1983 national championship team for North Carolina State, and I just kind of really knew a lot about it. Was the Jim Valvano era, the speech or anything, was that given to you guys as North Carolina State students for inspiration or direction or anything?
Absolutely. We've heard that speech a number of times at NC State.
Yeah. The don't ever give
Absolutely.
Up speech.
Right. Absolutely, yes.
And kind of flies with the Bears, even though the results haven't been there this season. They've played it hard to the end every week. We are in front of a group of season ticket holders, Bears season ticket holders here at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall as we burn another time out here. I'm Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. More with Willie Young after this. Head to Punta Cana with Apple Vacations and your favorite Chicago Bear players this spring. Visit applevacations.com/bears for more info. Welcome back to Bears All Access from the PNC Studio at Halas Hall, brought to you by Uber. We have a couple dozen Bears season ticket holders joining us here as we visit with Willie Young, part of the Season Ticket Holder Experiences Program, in which if you're a season ticket holder, you build up points. This is kind of some of the neat stuff that you can attend as a Bear season ticket holder. Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zaman with Tom Thayer and Willie Young. What kind of pre-draft signals, Willie, did you get coming out of NC State from any NFL teams? Mm-hmm. You know, we mentioned the seventh round
earlier in the show. I don't remember. At one time, my junior year, I was late first, early second. And then I don't know what happened after that.
4.8, 2.40.
Yep, I ran a 4.7, but
made Wikipedia.
No, it didn't. I don't know how. I mean, I was never ever a 40 runner. I was always a gang speed guy.
Were you a guaranteed defensive end coming out of college, or were you the tweener? You know, they defense or outside linebacker. Mm-mm. If you went to the right defense, mm-mm. You were defensive end.
Absolutely.
How much did you weigh coming out of college?
Why you had to ask me that?
Because, I mean, they kind of anticipate weight gain, you know, like guys that are going to grow into their frame or, you know, once they get on.
You're bigger than Leonard, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All
right. Oh, yeah. Coming out of college, I weighed 250.
That's still good weight, though.
That's really good weight.
That's good weight knowing that they're going to get you to 65 within a year's training table and a weight program.
Yeah, but they snuck one in on me at the combine, and I ended up having to do outside linebacker drills also.
Oh.
I killed it, though. I killed it.
Well, maybe they saw it, something man. In you.
I mean, I destroyed it.
You were thinking third rounder for sure, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so then what's that weekend like, though? You're sitting there waiting. And was it killing you?
You know what? It wasn't killing me because I was just fortunate to have an opportunity to even be expecting to hear my name come across the screen, you know? And just to be able to sit there with my family and enjoy the moment is what it was about. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I did have some guys that came out a couple years before that and gave me a couple of pointers or whatnot, which helped, you know. And if you're wondering what, this is a little simple stuff like, man, just make sure you're around your family, you know, sit back and enjoy the moment. And that's exactly what I did. I'm glad I did it.
When the Detroit Lions were on the other end of the phone, were you like, shucks or okay? You know, because, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, people that have ideas of where they want to get drafted. you could tell us the truth now.
Well, one thing I knew about Detroit was the style of defense they played. It's the style of defense that I played my entire career.
Right.
I mean, that's what you teach guys in Pop Warner. You teach them that in high school, middle
school.
Schwartz
was the coach at that time, right?
Correct, yeah. Correct. And it was get wide, just about wide as you can get and go.
Right.
And it wasn't a whole lot of thinking about nothing. And, I mean, I really think that style of defense is the defense for any young player coming into the league. That's where you want to be at.
And you got drafted the same draft as Ndamukong Suh.
Yep.
How did that relationship go at first?
It was pretty cool, actually. Yeah. He's a very quiet guy, very professional about
just
what
like
he does.
Just like he is on the field.
Just like he is on the field. heck of a guy, though. I mean, very business-oriented, you know, take care of his. I mean, we was sitting right next to each other for a couple years, so.
So he goes number two overall. You come in as the seventh rounder. And I know, you know, that was, I'm sure that was part of your desire, the push you had in order to make the team. Who were some of the guys who influenced you in Detroit? Who did you learn from? Who taught you some tricks of the trade and things you may not have known just about living an NFL life?
Between Jared DeVries, Corey Williams, Cliff Averill, Kyle Van Den Bosch, all those guys played a significant role in some way, form, or fashion.
Taking you under their wing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I had one of them giving me the way that the game should be played. I had one of them giving me a technique deal. I had one of them giving me a better understanding of how the business side of things worked. And I had one giving me a lot of advice on how I need to maintain and keep my body up and take care of myself if I wanted to last for, you know, more than a three-year average, I guess.
Who was that guy for you, Tom?
Oh, you know, for me, it was weird. I took the path through the USFL. So I was playing against with a bunch of a lot older guys in the USFL, like Greg Landry was near 40 years old, and he was really kind of dominant to me about making sure I wore pads in my pants every day, never got caught into the idea where you can, you know, you don't have to concentrate and practice and all that. And there was another guy there that played for the Cleveland Browns for 10 years. Jerry Sullivan was an offensive lineman. So, again, my professional football life, I was raised by old-timers because between George Allen, who was my head coach, he taught me more about football than any other coach. I mean, any head coach that I played for. When I came here, it was all about Dick Stanfield, the offensive line coach here that raised every one of us.
And for those of us watching at home or season ticket holders who are watching at Soldier Field, it's really an underrated part. They just see the results on the field, whether you're making the play or not, or who has more points at the end of the scoreboard. But that's really an unsung part of, you know, this career that you have.
Because
without it, I mean, I'm sure guys would be dropping like flies.
Well, now you're giving it to these guys. Yeah. You're the same message that guys were gracious enough to give you.
Yep.
You're helping the guys that you're raising here.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's a lot of. I think that plays right into the question you asked me earlier about the brotherhood, the unselfishness that we have on this team, and the guys that taught me nothing about those guys was selfish. Mm. And if you're going to get selfishness, you're going to get it from a guy in your position. You won't get it from a different position, you know, and I never got any of that. So I don't even know how to give. I don't even know how to be selfish. All I know is how to tell whoever asks or wants to know or needs to know what they need to know for whatever the situation might be.
But now on the other side of the ball, can you talk to Charles Leno Jr., Bobby Massey, these guys that are playing offensive tackle that you're rushing against? Can you come out and say, Charles, this is your stance, this is your hand placement, different things that to kind of put him on alert of what you see from an offense out of an offensive lineman?
And if he was here, I would apologize to him. But Jeff Backus,
left tackle for
the Lions for a long time. I was taking a lot of reps on the look squad, and this guy worked me so bad. It got to the point where I was like, Coach, I don't have an answer right now. I'm just going to try to run around him, just get as high as I can and just run around him. But it never worked, you know? And that goes into asking your question about can I talk to Charles Leno about my hand placement?
More about what you see to help him.
Absolutely.
Because he's a young guy.
Absolutely. And me, between that, my first two years in the league, Jeff Backus gave me all I could handle, you know.
Right.
And we were able to talk about what was going on, you know. He was like, "Willie, that's a really good rush for you. Stick to that. That's a very high percentage win rush for you. Work at that. Work at getting really good at that." And it was vice versa. And we can still to this day, right now today, I mean, I can communicate with Charles Leno about how did you know, why did you sit on my inside move? I mean, I really felt like I was selling it, but you sat on it. And then it's just like little things from either my aiming point, the way I'm, my stance, am I selling, am I rushing? You know, you can actually see, you can, if you study someone long enough, and you play against someone long enough, you can see their tendencies. So,
you know, one other guy, Jared Allen, and you used to talk a lot during one-on-ones and stuff about different moves and stuff. And it, he was always a football conversation guy. He wasn't, you know, talking about subjects outside of football when you guys were at practice.
Technician.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He's another guy I would say sorry to because, I mean, I'm just thinking of my early years. But once I got here with Jared Allen, I mean, that was obviously another part of my game really elevated. It went to another level. Just hearing his insight as, I mean, he's rushed against some of the best guys in the league for a long time also. And just to be able to get his, just to get his input and what he sees. And we obviously played each other twice a year since we've been playing my entire career. And we've obviously had some opportunity to see each other rush and whatnot. And we obviously had some insight. I didn't have much for him because he knew every trick in the book, but he had a lot of insight for me. So,
want to talk a little bit more about paying it forward with the Bears' number one pick, who is in Willie's room. Willie and some of his teammates doing that with Leonard Floyd. As we take another time out, we are fortunate to be joined by Bears season ticket holders here at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall. Bears All Access continues on 670 The Score after this timeout. You can help deserving families by donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears' Jewel Osco Coat Drive at participating Jewel Osco locations now through January 1st. It's bearing down on us, folks. January 1st is Sunday. Donations benefit the Salvation Army. We are at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall. Bears defender Willie Young, Tom Thayer, and Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabeman, joined by Bears season ticket holders, part of the season ticket holder experiences. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, rolling on. So you talked about influence of some of your teammates in Detroit and even here in Chicago. And now you're paying it forward with Leonard Floyd, the Bears' number one pick. Do you see some of the similarities coming into the league that you maybe experienced at the time back in 2010?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not quite taking care of your body the way you should. Oh man,
there was another article recently that just went into the team of people trying to make Leonard adapt to this because he came from what, a town of 350 people down in Georgia. Welcome to the big city, and I guess his real first panic moment was driving downtown the night before an exhibition game because of all the traffic and all the congestion.
Yeah, he actually got lost one night. Yeah. I've got some stories of this guy already, man. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
hilarious.
One maybe.
One. Yeah. Well, it was during OTAs, and it was a Friday, and it was a Thursday afternoon. We were flying out. We were going back home, separate directions, but obviously the same flight connecting Atlanta. But he's getting off of Atlanta because he lived in Georgia. Right. Well, that was the plan, but he had booked his flight for Friday morning as opposed to Thursday afternoon. So he didn't have a flight getting to the airport. He didn't have a flight. He ended up working it out, but I mean, come on,
did he unknowingly go the wrong day?
Yes. No, he didn't know.
Or he thought you just bought a ticket, you went on any flight.
He thought for sure. And when we got in the car on that road, I was like, hey man, look. You got your license. You got to have that. You got your wallet. You know, whatever you need. Got your headphones. Long flight. Yeah. I see. Are you sure your flight leaves today? For some reason, I asked him that. We were talking about something. I wasn't sure. And then he got on his phone, checked his email, and his flight was set to depart for Friday morning instead of Thursday afternoon. Yeah. I'm like, bro, how you mess that up? I said, I don't know what to do. I can't help you with this one. Now you on your own. I said, my flight leave at 3:30. I don't know about your flight, but my flight leave at 3:30. And so he was basically heading to the airport without a ticket.
And now he's got his dad lives with him and drives him around here, drops him off, picks him up.
Yeah, taking good care of him.
He's on the Leonard payroll.
Yeah, taking real good care of him right now.
Well, what does he have coming into the league outside of the first round check that he gets that you didn't have? Coming into the league, what do you see that are differences between the two of you? You knew how to catch a flight, too.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I sure did. He's the difference between me and Leonard is
personality, too.
Personality, yeah, personality, just a little bit. A
little bit.
Don't let him fool you. Yeah. Do not let him fool you.
Okay.
We're about 10, 11 pounds difference.
Yeah.
When I came in.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 3 seconds difference in our 40 speed.
But you know what's weird? That doesn't matter. It's how quickly you get off, anticipate mm-hmm. the snap count, how quickly you use your length mm-hmm. against the offensive lineman, and that's the thing that you can teach Leonard.
And that's what we're working on.
Right.
But he's so fast. He's so fast. I can't tell him to slow down. It's almost like you got to try and help him understand the philosophy of pass rushing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you got guys that want a hard angle set you and cut you off, so you can't use your speed, how are you going to react to that?
Well, let me ask you a question about that exact thing. You guys run a stunt against the Green Bay Packers that is one of the best run stunts between two guys in the same position, and it resulted in a sack. Do you like running stunts with a guy that's tall, lean, and fast like Leonard, or do you want the size and the inside like Akeem Hicks, where you got bulk, strength, and movability of personnel? What's your mindset in terms of the two guys?
I like both because when you're dealing with a fast guy like Leonard, for instance, he's going to make a guy have to make a decision fast.
Overreact.
Guys are really antsy. I mean, they're more likely to shoot. They're more likely to react sooner than what they should.
Right.
Because they're worried about the speed. But then when you run a game with a guy like Akeem Hicks, then guys are going to be patient because of his explosiveness, his power, his size.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to – I like it with both of them, actually. You know, it's just a matter of what kind of game, what game you're running, I would say.
Right.
Speaking of coaching up, I was unaware you have a brother, Avery,
mm-hmm.
who's with the Saints still,
mm-hmm.
And he ended up going to Auburn. How's he doing, and how's he adapting to NFL?
He's doing pretty good.
Offensive lineman?
Yep. Offensive guard.
Wow.
Yeah.
You probably teach him a few things growing up.
Must be a good guy.
I'm going to give him
He must be better because he went to Auburn and you went to North Carolina State.
Don't even start.
Ooh, he's a real athlete. And it's always the younger brother.
Back in the house. I spoke to him a couple weeks in, a few weeks in. He was like, man, oh, this is the real world. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, yeah, little bro, you got a lot more to see. You just now started.
Was he 7 years young, 7, 8 years younger?
He's 6 years younger than I am.
Okay. And he has yet to play in a game yet, though, right?
Yet to play in a game. I can't wait till that moment. I think we got New Orleans next year on our schedule.
Ooh.
I don't know if it's here
matching
or there.
Up.
Yay,
it's going to be down there.
I'm going to see if I can't get Coach to call some kind of game where I can just line up over and just whoop his tail.
Well, the Kyle-Chris Long thing lasted about 5 plays before Kyle was trying to kick someone on the sideline.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to go first, you or your younger brother.
All right. Time for another break here on Bears All Access. We are with season ticket holders here at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall. Thanks for coming along with us on this ride, and we will finally break out the rod and the reel. When Bears All Access continues at 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's, is free for kids 5 through 12. Join today at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Welcome back inside the PNC studio at Halas Hall. We are joined by Bears season ticket holders, faithful, sitting through the weather all season long. And we have someone here who's been to 600 games. Let's have a round of applause. All of you,
600 total, 600. 300 straight.
Wow, unbelievable.
Insane.
We are here with, they've seen every Willie Young home game, to say the least, over the last
and
3 years.
And away game.
Willie Young joining us, Tom Thayer. I'm Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabin. All right, so how is the patience on the water looking to reel in a catch similar to a patience you must have in reeling in a quarterback on the field?
That's a really good question. when you're fishing, depending on what you're fishing for. And I've been hunting swordfish for the last 2 years. I've been at the swordfish, and if you know anything about swordfish fishing, you daytiming, You got one reel in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And you might get a little old bird to come sit on the bow of the boat every now and then to keep you company, but he don't stay too long. And when you're fishing, how does that compare? You just never know when your moment's going to come, you know? And when that moment comes, you just got to be ready for it, you know? But it requires a lot of patience. In football, things don't always go according to plan. Fishing, things don't always go according to plan. I don't catch every fish. I don't catch every fish that I hook into. But
not by looking at some of your pictures that you put out there.
Well,
why is that your fish of choice, the swordfish?
I don't know.
Right now.
For now.
Yeah.
For now. Yeah.
But you're still looking for that first one.
I got into it with a swordfish about, during the bye week, I got into it with one. And I did not win this battle. And ever since, he's been picking away at my brain.
Like Captain Ahab.
But I'm going back. I told him I'll be back.
Right.
That was 2.5 months ago, and I'm coming back.
Is this down in the Gulf or off the Atlantic coast?
Atlantic.
Yeah. And how far out do you have to go to hope to snag?
Anywhere from, I don't know, anywhere from 15 to 30 miles out.
Wow.
I mean, it's a skip and a hop. It's not that far. You don't quite lose sight of land.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite, but pretty close.
So when was the first time you went out on the water, and were you hooked? See what I did there? Were you, sorry about that, hooked the first time you tried it?
Yeah, well, me and my dad started out fishing little old neighborhood, little ponds we had in a particular area. I ain't gonna tell y'all my hiding spot. I was fishing.
Yeah, we don't want that out there.
The honey hole. We can't
get crowded.
Yeah, we can't do that. He wouldn't be too happy either. But we grew up fishing, man, with little old bread, little old hook and cane poles. And eventually, I continued to grow from there. And I think that's where I was really turned on to fishing, and I enjoyed it. Like it was. Like, I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to go to class, but I had to. And the only way I could go fishing was if I came home and finished my work. And I got hooked up to saltwater fishing when I got addicted to it when I went out with a high school teammate of mine, Louis Agrusa.
Louis.
And we went out, and, man, I called it. I called what we were going to catch, and we caught all three of them except the sailfish because some guy didn't see us hooked up maybe 150 yards out with a sailfish, and he came off and broke us off. Oh, and we was probably the angriest boat on the water.
The water's got a little choppy.
The water started to boil around us. Seriously,
go ahead.
That's when I got really turned on offshore fishing.
Are you too young to remember the show Flipper?
Oh no, that was my thing.
Well, you know, for us growing up here in the Midwest, and I'm sure a lot of you guys, that was our fantasy island. Is you couldn't imagine the greatest place in the world to live, and I imagine that being you as a young kid, being able to go out to the ocean's edge or a lake or a pond or something, and you know, that's my whole time growing up and watching that show every single day. Now I dream that's the life of Willie Young.
I don't know if that. I don't know how much of an impact that show had on me. Because Lassie came on right after it.
Right.
And that was my... Those two shows, man, I'm telling you, man.
For us, though, that are stuck in the Midwest, a fantasy show like two kids getting in a John boat after school and going out fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. And, I mean, every day that was it. That's all me and my brothers wanted to do.
So who can compete with you on the team?
None of them. None of them. Not even close.
Who's tried?
None of them.
I heard your position. We talked, I think, last time you were on about your position coach talking a good game.
I'm not going to go there with him right
Clint
now.
Clint Hurts?
He has no idea. I get him out there. I may need to tie his hooks for him. And
so you've gone out there with him?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
He told me maybe a week ago he was going to come down there and give it a shot. I said, come on. Let me know. I'll get you some drama memes so you don't mess my boat up.
I've seen defensive ends mocking your casting on the field when they get a sack.
That's one of my guys.
Right.
Brian Robinson, man. Heck of a guy. I know him. So, you know, there's a little controversy about who started, but I know who started, I think. But, yeah.
He's racked up 7.5 of those celebrations so far this season. Looking to add to it in the season finale against the Vikings in Minnesota on Sunday.
There will definitely be some trash talking about that.
Zebco 202 this weekend.
Push button.
Yep. Here with Bears season ticket holders at the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. So glad they have joined us here. We're going to sing the theme song from Flipper during this break and then be back to wrap things up with Willie Young after this. Welcome back inside the PNC studio to Hallis Hall. We're heading down the home stretch of this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Bears season ticket holders joining us here as we wrap up the regular season, too. As far as the Bears winding things up Sunday in Minnesota against the Vikings, Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabin with Tom Thayer and Will Young. Now, you have 10 and 5-year-old sons, right?
Yes.
And the first one's Willie the third. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Willie Sr. wanted your second son to be named Willie the Fourth, too?
Yep, he sure did.
How far did that go?
Not very far, I take it.
I don't know what he's going to say about the one I got on the way. Yeah, I got another one on the way, a third one on the way.
Congratulations, nice.
Yes, thank you.
A boy, do you know boy, girl?
We don't know yet.
No?
If it's a girl, I can only hear him right now.
Really? Wilhelmina?
Yes. Yes.
So with 10 and 5-year-olds, what was Christmas like
in
a young household?
I wish I could show you a video that I had of them going outside and not being aware of the trampoline that they had got.
Oh. Nice.
And the looks on their faces were priceless. I mean, like, in awe.
So you had a game on Christmas Eve. Did you help Santa set that thing up once you got home? From your game on Saturday, or did Santa and the reindeer just conveniently just drop that down in the backyard?
Well, it just dropped down in the backyard, but they left about 2 weeks ago, like a day or two before that minus stuff kicked in.
It's a smart family. Oh,
yeah. And they took off. They hadn't looked back since. So they spent Christmas down in Florida, and I was perfectly fine with it because they would have been miserable here. Couldn't go outside for Christmas or whatnot. It's just too cold, whatever it was. But they ended up going back. But it was all set up for them, man. They got up and had a couple of gifts inside. And once they went out and the trampoline
that was the big one.
Stole the show.
Have the Bears made that a daddy stay off toy?
I promise they won't have to worry about me getting on there.
All right, that's good.
Touching the ground.
None of that.
That's good. So are they aware? What's their level of Bear fandom and having a grasp of what Dad does for a living?
Oh, man, I tell you what, they're both to the point now where if Daddy do something wrong or if Daddy jumps off sides or Daddy get a sack, Daddy hears about it.
Nice.
I mean, those are my biggest critics right there. And I'm almost scared to go home sometime. You know, for a simple offsides.
Wow, the Suns versus Vic and Clint, right?
Oh, man.
The Suns are worse?
My only break is between the locker room and the truck, and then I hear it.
You better get them a legal pad so they can write you a letter to tell you about it either, you know.
That's right. So what do they like to do? I mean, are they into...
They're into it. They're all in. There's no need for me to wake up and say, what you guys want to do today? Every day. Want to go fishing. We want to go fishing.
No, good.
We want to go fishing.
The apple doesn't fall far.
No, it don't.
From the
tree. No, it don't.
How much of a challenge as we wrap things up here? This is a grind, and I know you've been battling through some things here of late, and I suppose you're also setting an example to some of these tons of young kids
absolutely
on this roster of fighting through.
You hope to be able to verbally tell them that this is not your last opportunity. And when you have a year like this year for us, one of the biggest points I try to get across to guys is, look, I don't care what the outcome of these games are. If you want to be here next year, you must continue to do your job. You must continue to take ownership in what you do. You must take a lot of pride in what you do, irregardless of the outcome of this game. Because the second that you start getting caught up in the stuff around you that you can't control, you can't control whether you win or lose the game, but you can control how you do your job. And as long as you do your job and the guy next to you doing his job, we'll come out victorious. And not just not to get distracted by everything going on around.
And it seems like that culture has been set pretty well.
In this last game, that message has got to be clear with these young guys that this game is important. Don't think you can just sleepwalk through it because it's the last game of the year.
Run through the finish line.
Absolutely. Right. And it was very clear today that, you know, my coach, and that you bring that up, he was just saying that, look, you got some guys in here who aren't dealing with a contract year, and then you have a couple guys who are on a contract year. Just make sure you guys are doing everything in your power to do what you're supposed to do. Do your job, and everything gets to take care of itself.
Willie Young, thanks for joining us here on Bears All Access. For Tom Thayer, I'm Chris Bone. Thanks to our season ticket holders on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.